Amen. You guys can be seated. My name is Grant, one of the pastors here. Just want to say welcome. This morning, New Year's Eve, you made it to the end of 2023. Thankful to be here with you all this morning. Next Sunday, January 7th, Pastor Luke, he will be beginning our new message series titled, That's a Good Question. Many of you submitted questions, and we're excited to be able to go into that message series and excited to hear from Pastor Luke as he begins that for us next Sunday. So I invite you to be sure to be here next week for that. As one of the pastors here, my ministry focus is students, and so real quick, I want to give you all just a few details, a few highlights from student ministry, from what we call HCSM. This past semester at HCSM, we had 292 different students attend all throughout 15 weeks that we had. We had 11 baptisms, 11 students say, hey, I'm ready to follow Jesus, and I have decided to do that. A few of those students made that decision to follow Christ for the very first time this past semester. And another number is we averaged over 50 adults every Wednesday night serving and pouring into and investing into our students. And so we're very thankful that here at Holland Chapel, y'all are awesome. We have a church that loves students. We have adults giving up their time each Wednesday night just to pour into students, to love them, to invest in them. And so so excited, and what a joy it's been just to see what all has been taking place within our student ministry. Students are bringing their friends to Jesus. They're bringing their friends to come and hear about Jesus. They're bringing them to church, and they're also bringing their families as well. And it's just a fun thing to be able to see. One of those groups I do want to mention, though, is our 12th grade young men. They at one point had as many as 20 on one night, and so we're excited to see that group grow, see that group invest in each other. We had one of them just got baptized. He's actually sitting down here. Jeter got baptized, and so we're excited to see students taking steps to following Jesus. He was the one I struggled to get up out of the water when I baptized him. He was an offensive lineman, okay, for Benton High, and he said he was cutting weight. I said, Jeter, how much weight did you cut? He said 3 pounds. I was like, dude, you got to help me out more than that. But anyway, so excited to see them following Jesus. If you're looking for a way to get involved with students, to help out with students, Reality Weekend is coming up. It's in the middle of February, that 16th, 17th, and 18th. We'd love for you to help out and serve our students in a number of ways, whether it's providing meals, providing rides, or even opening up your home to a group of students. And so we'd love for you to do that and get involved that way. This past semester, our message series that we did was called Hits Different. It was called Hits Different. And what we talked about was how the truths of God's Word, the truths found in God's Word, hits differently than the truths, what we see the world say are truths. And so it hits differently. Some of those things are going to be up on the screen. Real quick, we had this quote that we talked about from Jane Pruitt. It said, our opinions don't change the Bible. Instead, the Bible should change our opinions. And that's what we talked about, how the Bible hits differently. Some of those were, the world says you are enough. The Bible says you're not enough. God is enough. The world says, believe in yourself. The Bible says, deny yourself. Believe in God. And then third, the world says, follow your heart. You may have that up in your kitchen right now, okay? It says, follow your heart. The Bible says, you need a new heart. Follow Jesus. So if you got that in your kitchen, throw it in the fireplace when you get home, okay? That's all you got to do. But hey, we talk about how that hits differently. The truths of God, the truths found in God's Word hits differently. Speaking of hits different, it's crazy that tomorrow is 2024. The new year is here, starts tomorrow. This upcoming year, 2024, it's a leap year. It's an election year. It's a total solar eclipse year. It's an Olympics year. So there's a lot going on. And so there's a lot happening. To quote Nick Calloway, he said, it's going to be a lot of fun or the world's going to come to an end. One of those two. Either way, buckle up. Let's get ready for it. It's going to be fun. And for next year, the Dallas Cowboys are still in the Super Bowl hunt, right? Anybody? Anybody Cowboys fans? We'll see. We'll see how long it lasts. Here we go. But hey, I don't want to necessarily give you, hey, let's make a list of New Year's resolutions. What I do want to challenge you with, though, is just to make one thing happen. And this question is really simple, is that for you to answer this, who is your one? Who is your one that you are discipling? Who is your one that you are discipling? Now, whether you realize it or not, you're leading someone. You're mentoring someone. You're discipling someone. You're setting an example for someone, whether you realize it's happening or not. There's going to be a photo up on the screen. Me and my wife, we have four kids, and the two youngest are twins. This is the youngest of the twins by a minute. His name's Cannon. And so one day, came home from work, really busy day, a lot happening. So every evening we pray before we eat. And so we try to make that happen. We don't do it before every meal, but try to. And then for sure dinner, we always try to pray before dinner whenever we get home. And so he's 20 months old. And so busy day, a lot happening, just trying to sit down and eat. Finally sit down and eat, take a couple bites. And I look up, and this is what I see across the table. 20-month-old. Now, I didn't intentionally wake up and say, hey, by the time he's 20 months, I'm going to teach him how to pray. And he's going to make sure that when he sits down, he's going to hold his hands just like this. That wasn't my intentions. But he's learning, and he's watching, and he's observing. And whether I realize it or not, I'm leading him, I'm mentoring him, I'm setting an example for him, and he's learning, and he's watching. It's a good thing there's not a picture of him throwing a fit as the Razorbacks lose, because that's what his dad does. So you just got that photo to look at instead. But we're going to look at this question. Hey, what is a disciple? What is a disciple? If you were to look it up in the dictionary, it would say something along the lines of this: someone who is a follower or a student of a teacher or leader. For us as Christians, we're going to kind of write it up like this. A disciple is this. It's going to be up on the screen. Someone who takes up the ways of Jesus. Someone who takes up the ways of Jesus and follows him. That's what we're going to call a disciple. Takes up the ways of Jesus and follows him. So that's what a disciple is. Then we ask the question, okay, what is a disciple maker? What is a disciple maker? What's going to be somebody who teaches or leads someone else? And we're going to say this as Christians. We believe a disciple maker is going to say something along the lines of this: someone who points others to Jesus and sets an example of following Jesus. Someone who points others to Jesus and sets an example of following Jesus. But when it comes to discipleship, when it comes to being a disciple and making a disciple as a follower of Christ, I believe your pastors and elders would agree with me in saying that it's not like just a cookie cutter process. It's not just a, hey, there's just one way to do it and only one way to do it. There's multiple ways that it could be done. It may take on different shapes, different forms, different lengths of time. It may take place in different locations. But there's always going to be one thing that's true to it, is that it involves teaching others the gospel, teaching others the truths found in God's word, and pointing them to Jesus. Following Jesus and pointing them to Jesus and being an example. That's what we're always going to see. It's not like, hey, give them a handout. Rather, it's say, hey, here, I'm following Jesus. Let me take you by the hand, and I want to show you what it looks like to follow Jesus. You're struggling. I want to help you out. So let's walk this life together. Let's walk this road together, and let's follow Jesus together. Let me show you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 says, we loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Saying we shared God's good news with you, but we also shared our lives with you too. You were able to live life with us. You were able to watch us grieve. Watch us have joy. Watch us celebrate. Watch us go through difficult times. We shared our lives with you. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It's going to be up on the screen. I invite you to follow along with me up on the screen or with your copy of God's word. Verse 18 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Verse 19, therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so when we see this here, him giving the great commission, go and make disciples, teach these new disciples. Can you imagine what it would have been like for these disciples to just to be living life with Jesus? What all they experienced, what all they saw, what all they witnessed. We see written at the end of the Gospel of John, it tells us that there would not be enough parchment, enough books to contain all that Christ did. And they would have seen so many things and witnessed so many things. But there's also a lot of life lived. A lot of, hey, let's travel to this place. A lot of fear, a lot of heartache, a lot of emotions, a lot of joy, hunger, sadness, gladness. There would have been a lot of emotions that came with that. Hey, who's got to start the fire tonight? Hey, who's taking care of dinner tonight? Who left the chair out and allowed Peter to stump his pinky toe on it or whatever? But there was a lot of life lived with them. A lot of things seen, a lot of things experienced. And as Jesus is making these disciples, he's doing it, and a part of that is living life with them. They got to walk alongside him. They got to live life with him. And this command of making disciples is given to the disciples. They've seen it. They've watched it. They've experienced it. They've lived it. They've witnessed it. And now they're told to go and repeat it. And to those who you go and share it with, they repeat it. Because it doesn't end with you. It keeps going. This message, this thing we're living out, it does not stop with you. It keeps going with you. I'm going to do a pop quiz real quick, okay? Everybody get ready. I'm going to test you. It's not going to be hard. Just about a little 40-second quiz, okay? There's going to be two questions. You get 20 seconds to answer each question. Just kind of answer it in your head. You don't have to share your answers or anything like that, okay? But first question, you get 20 seconds to answer, okay? Name the top three sermons that have impacted you, okay? Top three sermons. You get 20 seconds and go. It may be the name of the sermon, maybe who preached it, whatever, but just the top three sermons that impacted you. Halfway there. All right, pencils down. Got to stop right there. Next question. You get 20 seconds for this one as well, okay? 20 seconds. Name the top three people who have impacted you. Ready, go. Top three people. And you may have more than that, and that's fine. Top three people. Halfway there. And 3, 2, 1, stop. So with a show of hands, we're going to ask you, if you will raise your hand, how many of y'all were able to name the top three sermons? Did you have three sermons? Show of hands, anybody? Few people. We had more in the first service. Okay. Now with a show of hands, how many of y'all were able to name three people? Show of hands. Yeah. And if you're like me, like most of us, you can probably name those names a lot quicker than you can think of those sermons. There's a lot of great sermons out there, but if you're like most people, sermons don't necessarily stick with us, but you remember those names of those who invested in you. Those who discipled you, those who had an impact on you. Because discipleship, it impacts you. And for you, maybe it's changed over the years. I remember when I was a student, for me, it was our youth pastor, Jay. As I got older into college, it became Todd and Reed. As I became older, it became Nick. And it's still Nick to a degree today, too. Still helping me out. Got a lot to learn. And now it's become our pastoral team and other men in my life. That I look up to, that I learn from. And I'm thankful for our pastoral team who I believe pours into me, who invests into me, who is discipling me each and every day. But the thing is, like, discipleship impacts us. People have an impact on us. And so, yes, we have recorded sermons of Jesus, but a bulk of Jesus' life was investing in his disciples. We're talking about an investment of a lifetime. You spending a long amount of time pouring into others, giving up of yourself to spend time with others, pouring into them, discipling them, leading someone else. So this morning, we want to look at two simple questions and give y'all hopefully two simple answers for those two simple questions. First question is going to be up on the screen. Who do I disciple? Who do I disciple? Who can I invest in over a period of time and show them Jesus? Like, what does this look like for me? Great question. Whoever you're around. Whoever you're around. God has given you a circle of influence like no one else. You have people that you're close to that I'm not. And I can't impact them the way that you can. You can impact them in a way that only you can impact them. Because that's who you're around. That's who God has placed in your life at this time. Whoever you're around. Colossians 1, verse 28 through 29. It's going to be up on the screen. Verse 28 says, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. It says we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone. It says we want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. There's a work involved, and it's trying to warn everyone and teach everyone, getting them ready to be presented to God. And so we tell others about Christ. We point them to Jesus. It's our job as followers of Christ to help others. So there's going to be a table up on the screen. You're more than welcome to write all of this down. There's going to be some passages that go along with this for your own note-taking. But who do I disciple? First off, each other. As brothers and sisters of Christ, we are to hold each other accountable. We're to help each other out. Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Like, you better believe we're supposed to be holding each other accountable. You better believe we're supposed to be mentoring and leading and discipling each other, helping each other out. Hebrews 10 says we're supposed to spur one another on. Like, help a brother out, right? Like, we need to be helping each other. Galatians 6 says, if someone is caught in a sin, like, step in. Restore them gently. We're supposed to be there for each other. Second box there, those younger than us. In Titus chapter 2, we see older men and older women are told to live a certain way. And that the older men are to encourage the younger men to live wisely, and the older women should teach others what is good and must train the younger women. Older men, older women, invest in this and disciple in those younger than you. Pour into them. Pour into those younger men. Pour into those younger women. Number three, co-workers. Colossians says for employees to work sincerely as if you are working for the Lord as an act of worship. You can show others Christ. For employers, they're told to be fair and just to their employees. Why? Because that's how God the Father has treated them. That's how you can display Christ to your coworkers, to your spouse. Ephesians 5, husbands and wives are told to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Your marriage is a way for you to display Christ to your children, to your family, to those around you. Husbands, you are told to model Christ by how you love your wife, by how you love her, points to Jesus. You can point your spouse to Jesus. Point your spouse to Jesus. A godly marriage is an example of Christ and his love for the church. We see in that next box, children. In Deuteronomy 6, we're told to repeat the commands again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home. Talk about them when you're on the road. If you don't talk to your children about it, who's going to? What are they learning? Are they going to learn from school or somewhere else? Proverbs 22 says we're to raise up a child and teach them the way they should go. Ephesians 6 says bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. We have an obligation, a job, a responsibility, a duty to raise up our children. My son, who's four, not the one you saw on the screen, he's with my wife this past weekend, and he asked my wife the question, can you put popcorn up your nose? My wife says, no. 7 sneezes later, my wife says, Rustin, did you put popcorn up your nose? He said, yeah, I did, Mom. And so a few sneezes continue on, and she says, Rustin, why did you do this? Because there's a boy at school that puts pepperoni up his nose. And so that's why he thought he could put popcorn up his nose, okay? We're going to take him out of that school. But if your kids are not learning it from you, where are they learning it from? You have an obligation and responsibility to teach your children. Repeat the commands again and again to your children. Point your children to Jesus. And so question number one, who do I disciple? Whoever you're around. Whoever you're around. There's going to be a photo up on the screen. The St. Louis Cardinals had a retirement ceremony for Adam Wainwright. And at it, Hall of Famer Chris Carpenter spoke. They were longtime teammates, both great pitchers for the Cardinals, and said this about Wainwright. It says, we talk about mentoring. You hear about all the great things that he's done on the field. But the most important thing is the type of human he is. He continued to invest in me without me even knowing it. I'll read that again. He continued to invest in me without me even knowing it. He said, and on April 14th, 2010, I showed up in the clubhouse with a Bible sitting on my chair in my locker. Said it changed my life, and it's the same Bible I use today. He was discipling whoever was around him. And it wasn't like some massive strategy or great plan. He just laid a Bible in his chair and said, look, I'm following Jesus. I want you to follow him with me. We're going to walk through this together. I want to show you what it looks like to follow Jesus. Who do I disciple? Whoever you're around. But then ask the question, but how do I do it, Grant? Like, what do I do? Question number two, we look at who do I disciple, whoever you're around. Number two, how do I disciple? How do I disciple? And I think this might be where a lot of us struggle, where a lot of us aren't really sure, okay, like, okay, I get it. I'm supposed to disciple. I'm supposed to teach them right from wrong. But, like, how do I do this? What does this look like? Like, I don't know what to do. And I want to ask y'all, when I asked the question earlier, the top three people that had the greatest impact on you, why did those three people, or however many it was for you, why did they have that great impact on you? Was it because they did something amazing at one point in your life? Was it because they followed this great strategy in discipling you? Or was it because they were faithful over a long period of time in pointing you to Jesus, in pointing you to Jesus, in pointing you to Jesus, and always being there? And I'd be willing to bet and say that probably more in line with they were just faithful over a long period of time of always showing you Jesus. How do I disciple? You follow Jesus and you point them to him. You follow Jesus and you point them to him all the day long. Take them to Jesus. Show them Jesus. There is no wrong way as long as you're pointing them to the Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 2 says, verse 1, and you should imitate me. Paul is writing this. He says, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. He says, I am so glad that you always keep me in your thoughts and that you are following the teachings that I passed on to you. He says, I'm so glad that you're following the teachings that I passed on to you. And he also says, you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Not because of anything that Paul has done, but because of everything that Christ has done in him. Paul is saying, follow my example of following Jesus. Don't follow me for the sake of following me. Following me, he's saying, follow me because I'm following Jesus. Follow my example that I'm laying out for you. You see me following Jesus? Yes? Then let's go. Let's do it too. You ought to do the same. You ought to do the same. And we impart, as we make disciples, as we lead others, as we mentor others, we impart the knowledge we have of the Word of God to others. We teach them. We show them. How do I disciple? That same table is going to be up, but that second column is going to look a little different. How do I disciple each other? Hold each other accountable. Sharpen one another. Push each other. Like, you have friends. You have individuals who you're going to a growth group with, to Bible studies with. You may be meeting at a coffee shop around town. Like, hold each other accountable. Many of you do these the Bible app reading plan. You say, hey, I'm going to do this Bible app. I want you to join in and do it with me. Hey, did you do your Bible reading today? Are you going to do it tomorrow? Push each other. Hold each other accountable. We need to spur one another on. Say, hey, let's follow Christ together. We're in this together. Let's do this together. Disciple each other. Older men, your wisdom, how do you do this? Your wisdom, your knowledge, your life that you have lived is invaluable. You've been through waters that we have not been through. If I'm going to go float the Arkansas River up in the state of Colorado through all the rapids and whatnot, I want to go with somebody that's been through it. I want to take someone with me that knows how to navigate through it. It says, look, I've been there. Let me show you how to get through it. Let me show you what it's like to navigate through this. We need godly men to stand up and say, look, I got you. I'll help you through this. Older women, you are godly. You have found worthiness and beauty in things that are not of this world. You've raised children. You've raised husbands. And young women want to hear from you. They want to hear from you. Like, how did you get through all this? Working and raising a family, taking care of the home. Like, how did you do this? They want to hear your wisdom. Mentor them, pour into them, disciple them. They want to know how to follow Christ. Older men and women, regardless of how old you are, of what your age is, there's somebody that's younger than you. You have somebody that's younger than you that is about to get into where you're at, but that's about to get into where you've been. And man, they would benefit so much just hearing from you, just learning from you. Just come alongside them and say, hey, let me show you what a person of God looks like. Today, I feel like men learn what it looks like to be a man, thinking like, hey, that's what James Bond looks like, or Two and a Half Men, something like that. Women, you learn womanhood from Golden Girls or Real Housewives or whatever TV show you watch. Like, that ain't it. Older men, older women, invest in those who are younger than you. Co-workers, be an example of Christ to those you work with. Show them Jesus. This isn't a, your life may be the only Bible they ever see. Like, yeah, live it out, but also share it with them. They need to hear what Jesus has done for them. They need to hear how they can receive this gift that you have, that they can have this joy that you have. Share it with them. Be the coworker that is on fire for Christ, and everybody says, like, something's different about you. What's changed about you? And share it with them. Pour into them. Lead them. Disciple them. Your spouse, marriages are hurting, being attacked. Men and women, help your spouse follow Jesus. Care for one another. Forgive one another. Say, I'm sorry, and swallow your pride, which is still hard for me to do today. It's okay to say I'm sorry. It's okay to say I forgive you and move past things. Point each other to Christ. Parents, it is your responsibility to teach your children the truths of God's word. Grandparents, guardians, you share in this. We have this responsibility to teach them Scripture. Talk to them. Engage with them. When a commercial pops up or when a TV show pops up and something in there is against the Word of God, turn the TV off and say, look, that's not normal. That's not what that's supposed to look like. The life we're living and called to live, it doesn't look like that. Have those talking points with them. Turn the phone off, take it away from them, and take them for a drive. Engage with them. Have a conversation with them. Say, look, son, hey, when I was a teenager, these things get thrown at you. But it's important to follow Jesus. Tell them how you're pursuing Jesus. Share with them what helps you. Let them hear from their mom and their dad. Teach them the word of God. Your disciples, whoever they may be, they're learning from you. They're watching you. They're picking up things that you're putting down. And if you're like me, you don't even realize it. They're watching you and observing you. And we live in a world where people are struggling, people are hurting, people are dying, they're looking for answers. But we have it. We have the cure. We have what they need, and it's found in Jesus and Jesus alone. And if you're sitting here this morning and don't understand or know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, we'd love to talk to you more about that. We have some friends in what we call the Connect Corner that are going to be back there. We'd love to answer any questions that you may have, how you can turn away from your sins and believe in Jesus and Jesus alone, understanding what he has done for you. And you can receive God's gift. We'd love for you to get that answer today. Wayno, as they called him up in St. Louis, he impacted those around him by being different. But could you imagine what it would have been like if he said, hey man, here's this Bible, but he never acted like a Christian, never lived it out. He said, no, like, I'm going to follow Jesus, and I'm going to bring you alongside, and I'm going to mentor you. I'm going to pour into you. I'm going to show you what it looks like to follow Jesus. He lived it out. There's two names that are going to pop up on the screen, two people you probably have never heard of, but they had an impact on many, many others, and just because they took the time to invest and disciple in a young man. Now, for both of them, it looked different. They didn't do it the same way. They impacted this individual at different times of this young man's life. They did it different ways. One's was shorter than another. Another one was more direct and more involved. But either way, they took the time to invest and pour into somebody else. First man, Albert McMacken, he told a teenager after he found Jesus. He went and told a teenager and started talking to him about Jesus. He worked on this family's farm, and this young man was there, and he said, look, hey, I want you to come to this revival with me, and was able to share what Jesus had done for him and got to spend time with him after that. He took this young man, and he went to the revival, and he accepted Christ, and he was able to continue to work with him on the farm about following Jesus. The next man, Dr. John Minder, he took this student who eventually dedicated his life to going into ministry, went to college to study, and was one of his professors there. And he mentored an eager student for an amount of time while he was in college who was wanting to learn more, who was wanting to go and teach and preach. And these two men impacted a man named Billy Graham. Now, I'm not saying who you mentor and disciple one day is going to be Billy Graham. I'm also not saying it's not going to be Billy Graham. here's the thing. These two guys, they didn't know who Billy Graham was going to be. They didn't know he was going to be one of the greatest evangelists of all time. But they did what we're all called to do, and that's invest in others, mentor others, make disciples, pour into others. And we've been given that exact same mission. Invest in others. Make disciples. They're all around you. We're told to disciple those who are around us. And we often challenge you to invest and invite others here at Holland Chapel. And so when you think of New Year's resolutions, think about who is your one this year. Who is your one that you can invest, disciple, and mentor, and point to Jesus? It's going to be whoever you're around. And all you got to do is follow Jesus and point them to Jesus as well. When I asked you to name those top three names at the beginning, maybe for you out there, there's somebody else that didn't name your name because you might have missed some opportunities. You may have let some go to actually pour into somebody. And your name might not have been mentioned. But how awesome would it be a year from now that we ask that question and somebody says your name? Hey, you're one of those three that poured into me. You're one of those three that discipled me. You're one of those three that said, hey, let's follow Jesus together. Changed history when Jesus gave that command to his disciples. Go and make disciples. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, God. Thank you for our time here this morning, God. God, we look back in 2023 and we're like, wow, all that you did, how amazing you are, how awesome you are, God. And we just say thank you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your faithfulness, for being there in the highest of times and the lowest of times, God. And we ask that you continue to be with us as well. Help us, God, to prayerfully consider who that one or two or three, whoever it might be in our lives, that we would pour into, that we would lead, that we would disciple, that we would point to you, God. Help us to follow you and help us to point others to you, God. We can't wait to see all of the great things you're going to do in this upcoming year. And we pray boldly and ask you in faith to move, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.